The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 17th, 2022.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your Holtz. And with me at the board is my partner, my friend, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. And we are here live in the studio. And happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. Today is a national holiday that everybody's celebrating across the country. And also 2022. Wow, happy new year to all my fans. I say happy new year all of January. And my wish for all of us is to have peace of mind, good health, loving relationships. Lots going on, and let's keep our fingers crossed that the Congress and the Senate gets those voting rights passed. I have a very special guest with me this morning, joining me in the studio. It's wonderful to have a live person here. It's Aubrey Ballinger, who's the Corporate Graphics Manager and ESOP Communications Committee Chair for Oliver's Market here in Sonoma County. And we're going to talk about employee-owned businesses, ESOP, which stands for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And ESOP grants employee company stocks, often based on the duration of their employment. Typically, it is part of a compensation package, and we're going to talk all about that. You know, it's really exciting to see some of the businesses and how they're changing from just a single person owning the company to employees transitioning into owning the company. And Oliver's Market here in Sonoma County is definitely going through that, and I'm really excited to hear the things that Aubrey brings to the table here to explain to us, because I know it's on everybody's mind, especially when we go into the markets and we see signs all over employee-owned. What does that mean? And how does that impact a community? Well, excuse me, today we are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. We have a day off, and oftentimes at the Community Baptist Church, they have a day on where they do some sort of volunteer work, cleanup, etc. But I want to do a shout out. Last night, Ken and I had the honor of watching Out of the Mountain of Despair, A Stone of Hope. That was the theme of the Martin Luther King Jr. birthday celebration. And it was very, very interesting. First of all, this is the 40th year that they've done this, and I think that's just amazing that they have been so consistent, the committee. A shout out to the Martin Luther King Birthday Committee. And also, as we remember, about 2 weeks ago, we had one of the folks on, and it was Tina Rogers, and she explained what was going on in the event and all the good things that were happening. And I want to do a shout out for all of them. It was just an amazing, amazing event. And what was so interesting to me, I mean, to me, it was very cosmic. You know, the event ended and they were playing Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday, and they couldn't get any sound. And when I was meditating today, and all of a sudden I got this thought. It was very interesting, because the family said they did not want to have a celebration. And when I listened to Nonzale Abernathy, who is the daughter of Ralph Abernathy, who was a best friend of Dr. Martin Luther King, when I heard her talk, you know, I realized that what this whole event was about was to remind us how far we have come when it comes to integration, when it comes to voting rights, when it comes to bringing people more and more together, and that we are on kind of at a place right now. One of the one of the students in their presentations, they talked about climbing a mountain, you know, out of the mountain of despair. And a lot of us feel a little bit of despair, the way they're tossing these voting rights around, is that all of a sudden, you know, it's making it more and more difficult for us to vote. It doesn't make any sense to me. But what's so interesting, though, was listening to Nonzale Abernathy talk, and then all of a sudden at the end, not to have any sound with Stevie Wonder, all of a sudden I realized, yes, that's what the whole event was, to remind us that, yes, just like women, we've come a long way, baby, but the scales are always tipping, and we always have to keep our eye on the prize. We always have to keep our eyes and our ears open, because once you lose a right, once you lose a right, you know how hard it is to gain it. I mean, it took 100 years before women even got the right to vote. Can you imagine 100 years just to get the vote? Had to go to jail, had to be waterboarded, and finally in 1920, they finally allowed women across the United States to vote. But it took 100 years. So it's not that easy to gain a right. And once you lose it, oh, then it's even harder. So we really have to pay attention. And one of the call-outs at the event on last night was they are encouraging people to call their senators, call their state, call their congresspeople, call all their representatives and say, yes, we must have that voting rights bill. We must have it consistent. I mean, the problem is when you give it to the states, and they may all of a sudden, one state has this rule, another state has that rule, and before you know it, everybody, nobody knows what rules to follow. So it's always best to have it to be a federal law, and we all agree on it as a nation. Remember, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. You know, that's in our Constitution. That's who we are as Americans, and to take our right to vote or to make it difficult for us, shame on those people that are even thinking about doing that. So it's very, very, very important. So once again, thank you so much for all those wonderful people that put on this great event last night. Truly appreciate it. And by the way, the event was recorded, so you can see it on Facebook, and it's under Martin Luther King Celebration 2022, Sonoma County. Okay, another little announcement we have, a little reminder that on January 22nd, let's see, January 22nd, I believe that's this Sunday or Saturday, at the Santa Rosa High School Multipurpose Room faculty parking lot at 1235 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa from 10 to 12 p.m., Sonoma County Black Forum is going to be doing a food distribution. So that's January 22nd from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's going to be at Santa Rosa High School Multipurpose Room faculty parking lot, 1235 Mendocino Avenue, Santa Rosa, California. So if you know of anybody who is, you know, looking, you know, is having a hard time with food, having a hard time with money, etc., please make sure you let them know about this. And let me see if there's a there is a website. It's SonomaCountyBlackForum.com. And if you want to find out any more information, you can call them at 707-343-8734. That's 343-8734, area code 707. And I'm sure they'll be happy to answer all your questions. Well, like we do every Monday, we talk about our history is our strength. And what's so interesting about this Monday is I couldn't believe that I found four people, four women, actually, that have birthdays on January 17th. And I thought, perfect, you know, might as well honor all these four. And such a variety of women, you know. The reason our history is our strength is because you have to know where we've been, where we've come from, where what we have accomplished, and what the struggle was all about. You know, oftentimes, you know, especially young women today, I mean, we have so many rights, we just take them for granted. But everything's up for grabs now. We have to pay attention, and it's important to understand our history, to understand it took us 100 years to get the vote. You cannot imagine what it was like to get women to have choice. I mean, I myself at the time, and the reason that I even marched for choice and when with Roe versus Wade was up, and the only reason that I did that is because I had an aunt that had a backdoor abortion that almost died. And I said to myself, no, this is not right. A woman has a right to choose. And it's a very private matter. And I've said it over and over. I'm not for abortion. I'm not against abortion. It's none of my business. You know, Terry Cole Whitaker always said, what you think of me is none of my business. Well, I think what you do with your body as a woman is none of my business, and it's definitely not the government's business. So it's very, very important that we pay attention, and that's why our history is our strength is so important. It lets us know. It tells us of the women whose shoulders we are standing on. You know, we didn't get here like, oh, hey, this is real easy going, hey, give me the vote or give me my right to choose. Oh, no. Women were in the streets marching. And remember, march 100 years. And we still don't have an Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, what is so difficult about an Equal Rights Amendment? What are these men saying? We don't want women to have equal rights? Lots to think about, ladies. Lots to think about. So let's go and say happy birthday to these wonderful, wonderful women who paved the way for us, who made it possible. You know, we look at the news now, we see many, many women. When I was growing up, it was only men. You know, Barbara Walters was a phenomena. Oh, my goodness, a woman. She's interviewing people. Now it's everywhere you go, and that's because of the women's movement. That's because of women standing up and saying, I have a right to have a place at the table. And these are some of the women that we're going to celebrate today. So this woman was born January 17th, 1910, and made her transition in 1987. Edith Green was elected to Congress in 1954 and served 9 terms, worked on women's rights, education, and equal pay. Boy, when you think about it, this woman probably in 1954, she was working on women's rights, education, and equal pay. Well, here we are in 2022, and we're still struggling with that. Well, happy birthday, Edith Green. Another woman, very, very interesting, who was born on January 17, 1920, and she made her transition in 1987. That was Nora Kay, ballerina, choreographer, and film producer, joined George Ballinger's American Ballet in 1936, collaborated on films with her husband Herbert Ross, including Goodbye, Mr. Chips in 1969 and The 7% Solution in 1976. And she actually produced The Turning Point and Pennies from Heaven in 1981. Very unusual for a woman to be directing and doing all these things here when she was actually doing that in 1936. You know, that's a pretty progressive woman. I mean, we only had the vote for 16 years from 1920, and here all of a sudden producing. Now, here's another woman that I think is very, very interesting, and we all know her. January 17, 1922, and she just made her transition in December 31st, 2021, and that's Betty White. And it's so interesting. I mean, I've been watching all these different films on Betty White. I had no idea how active she was, and she was definitely very active with animal movement, very protective, very much a voice for animals. January 17th, 1922, Betty White, veteran actor. Her later TV roles included Mama's Family, The Golden Girls, which was hysterical, and Hot in Cleveland, Advocates of Animal Welfare. Betty White passed away 16 days before her 100th birthday. And it was very, very interesting because they had a party planned for her. And she made her transition. She fell asleep very quietly and made her transition. What a beautiful life she had. So happy birthday, Betty. And then here is our last person, January 17th, 1939, and she's still alive, and that's Martha Cordera, engineering Chicana feminist, author of 2 seminal texts, Dios y Hermambra and Chicana Feminist, standing member of La Raza United Party in Texas in 1969, and one of the authors and mothers of Chicana feminism. You know, that's amazing. You know, I'm always joke with our president, Alicia Sanchez. I say, Alicia, when are you going to make me an honorary Chicana? You know, I was born in East L.A. But, you know, it's just a little funny thing that I say. But it's very, very important. So happy birthday to Martha Cortera. That's C-O-T-E-R-A. Amazing. Amazing that with the shoulders that we are standing on. Well, again, you know, our history is our strength. And today we are celebrating a very historic moment, and that's with Dr. Martin Luther King. And, you know, I remember it like it was yesterday, the day that he was killed. I mean, I remember hearing it on the radio. I was at work, and it felt like the whole world stood still. And I remember when Robert Kennedy made the announcement to the group, you know, telling him how he understood what it felt like. After all, he lost his brother, John F. Kennedy, from, you know, assassination. It was a terrible, terrible day that day, let me tell you something. And he was an incredible man. And I thought for today's show, I would play just a little excerpt from one of his speeches, and it's called "I Have Been to the Mountaintop." And what I love about that speech is sometimes I feel that way myself. You know, I feel like I'm looking out, and I'm thinking, I'm getting older, and I'm looking out, and I wonder, am I going to be alive to see peace on earth? Am I going to be alive to see total integration? Am I going to be alive where people actually stop with all this racism and all this negativity towards one another? So I can almost understand what he's saying. You know, we all looked out. We all have visions. I know when I was interviewing about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I played Earth Mama's song, A Great Vision, it was an old Irish poem. And it was written in the 1600s, and they had the same vision that we have today. I mean, it seems like it's been forever and ever and ever. And I ask myself, you know, over and over, you know, when will we have peace? And it's so simple. You know, it's really simple. We make it so complex because we're holding on to things. You know, we got to have this, we got to have that, we got to have this, you got to have that, you know, get rid of this. It doesn't make sense to me anymore. It really doesn't. So, Ken, let's go ahead and let's play this little excerpt. This was actually his last speech that he made. And after this, about one day later, he was assassinated. So let's go ahead and play "I Have Been on the Mountaintop." And then we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Harriet Tubman.
To America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Oh, my goodness, Dr. King. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, what a day that was. And, you know, it's very, very important that each year that we are reminded that it took us a long time to get there, and we do not want to lose it. It's very difficult. I'm going to repeat myself. It's very difficult once you lose a right to gain it back. Well, you know, so many things are happening. It's just amazing. So many things are happening. And one of the things I found out was just in time for her 200th birthday, Harriet Tubman has arrived in Philadelphia. 9 feet tall and bronze, Harriet Tubman, The Journey to Freedom, was sculptured by Wesley Wolford and unveiled on the northeast corner of City Hall on Tuesday, January 18th. That's tomorrow. It's going to be unveiled. The sculpture will reside there until the end of March, when the city celebrates the anniversary of her birth in March of 1822. Wow, it sounds like Harriet Tubman might have been a Pisces, just like me. Well, she was born, Harriet Tubman was born Amita Ross on March in 1822, and she made her transition on March 10th, 1913. She was an American abolitionist and political activist. She was born into slavery. Tubman escaped and subsequently made some 13 missions to rescue approximately 70 enslaved people. You know, folks, this woman risked her life to save her people. She had to go through terrain and trenches and really was so afraid to be caught by these. They would surround the areas and they would catch slaves and they would return them back to their masters, and it was horrendous. Just think of what she did and how simple it is for us to call, to pick up the telephone and call our representatives and say they have to vote for the voting rights bill. So what we're going to do now is we are going to take another musical break. And the song I'm going to play is Harriet Tubman. And when we return, I will be talking with Aubrey Ballinger, the Corporate Graphics Manager and ESOP Communications Community Chair at Oliver's Market here in Sonoma County, and we'll be talking about employee-owned businesses, ESOP, which stands for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And I'm really excited about this. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's listen to Harriet Tubman.
I dreamed I was in slavery. About 1850 was the time. Sorrow was the only sign. Nothing around to ease my mind. Out of the night appeared a lady leading a distant pilgrim band. First mate, she yelled, pointing her hand, make room on board for this young woman. Say, get covered up, I got a lifeline. Covered up to this trade of mine. Covered up, I got a lifeline. Covered up to this trade of mine. She said her name was Harriet Tubman. She drove for the Underground Railroad. Hundreds of miles we traveled onward, gathering slaves from town to town, seeking every lost and found, setting those free who once were bound. Somehow my heart was growing weaker. I fell by the wayside, shifting sand. Firmly did this lady stand. Well, she lifted me up and took my hand, saying, come on, I got a lifeline. Come on up to this trade of mine. Come on up, I got a lifeline. Come on up to this trade of mine. She said her name was Harriet Tubman, and she drove are these children dressed in red? They must be the ones that Moses led. Who are these children dressed in red? They must be the ones that Moses led. She said her name was Harriet Tubman. Dressed in red, they must be the ones that Moses led. Who are these children? They must be the ones that Moses led. I got a lifeline.
Wow. Got a lifeline. A little trivia about her. During the American Civil War, she served as an armed scout and spy for the Union Army. And in her later years, Tubman was an activist in the movement for women's suffrage. What a woman. What a woman. Well, folks, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest joining me in the studio, Aubrey Ballinger. Welcome, Aubrey. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Is it okay if I tell our listeners just a little bit about you, Aubrey?
Yes, please.
Aubrey joined Oliver's in 2012 in the Montecito store bakery. She quickly moved through the department to become assistant manager and then manager of the Stony Point Bakery in 2016. Aubrey transferred to the corporate graphics department in 2017, where she quickly established herself as an excellence graphic designer and event coordinator, producing the Oliver's 30th anniversary celebration in 2018. When Oliver's employees became, when Oliver's became employee owned in 2017, Aubrey supported the rollout and has led the ESOP Communications Committee since it was started in 2018. She was tapped to lead the Corporate Graphics Department in 2019 and oversee all the marketing, along with playing a role in educating over 1,000-plus employees on the benefits and responsibilities of employee ownership. Aubrey earned her bachelor's degree in natural resources planning and interpretation with concentrations in graphic design and education from Humboldt State University. She and her family reside in Santa Rosa. Wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to add, Aubrey? Anything that you can think of?
Oh, that's so thorough. I'm just so pleased to be here, and it's such a pleasure and an honor to be sitting with you today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. And, you know, I really understand what you're doing. I'm also a retired corporate officer, and my goodness, I mean, just to train all these employees, I mean, that would be one job, but you have many, you're wearing many hats here. Well, let's start. You know, to begin, give us a bit of history about Oliver's Market and what attracted you to them, and what is their motivation for becoming employee-owned? I mean, this is becoming a whole new thing here in the United States.
Yeah, certainly. So Oliver's was founded in 1988 by Steve Moss with our flagship store in Cotati, and then we now have three additional locations, two in Santa Rosa and one in Windsor. And in 1994, we pioneered the crossover format of our stores, meaning that you can find conventional and organic products side by side down each aisle rather than having those products live in separate sections of the store. And I think that's really an amazing format. Makes shopping and planning for your family so much easier. And we currently have over 1,000 employees, with 47% of our leadership team, 47% of our upper management roles held by minorities and women. And I think that's something that we're really proud of. We're also a certified green business, and we were Sonoma County's first certified green grocer in the area. And we have a full-time sustainability coordinator who works tirelessly to ensure that we are upholding our commitment to the environment and our community. I moved to Sonoma County from out of the area about 10 years ago and was looking for work, and I'm a foodie at heart, and so finding a company to work for that was full of foodie seemed like the perfect fit.
Well, what's a foodie?
Somebody who lives and breathes delicious food, and Sonoma County is full of so much amazing local food and beverages. It's just like a mecca for wonderful food and beverage, and you find like-minded people who love to cook and experiment with different flavors. And Oliver's has always been really open to allowing employees to bring ideas for new food ideas to the front, and some of our, you know, best-selling products were developed by our own employees, and I thought that was a really great format, and it's just been really exciting.
So you started out in the bakery.
I did. I started out in the bakery making coffee drinks and decorating cakes and just getting my kind of feet wet with Oliver's, and that was, it's really great. I love meeting all the customers and having the regular customers come in, you know, every day and remembering their orders.
Well, that's interesting. So then you start moving up the ranks.
Yeah, then I became the assistant bakery manager and then the bakery manager. And then I had my beautiful son about 5 years ago, and my life changed considerably, and my needs for work-life balance shifted. But I love Oliver's and didn't want to leave, so I tried to find other places in the company that would work for having a young child and still wanting to be part of this company. And my education background is a lot in education and graphic design, and I was really fortunate to be able to transition to the graphics and marketing side of things, which has been really exciting.
And then you moved up to this wonderful transition that starts happening.
Yeah, so then in 2017, Oliver's transitioned to toward ESOP, or ESOP as we like to say, and that fit with my education of interpreting complicated concepts to the general public, which is what my degree is in, and it kind of made sense to use the skills that I learned in my degree to help translate the complicated inner workings of employee ownership to our employees.
Well, I think that's amazing. I mean, that's a statement of the company that they allow within their own ranks to start moving. They find out about you. You know, they at least find out your talents and your skills, so they're able to fit you in different places. That's amazing. What's your son's name?
My son's name is Roscoe.
Oh, Roscoe. How beautiful. 5 years old. That's the best. That's the best. You know, we just became a second time a great grandmother. Goodness, it's amazing.
It's the best.
Well, that's good that you brought us into this. So talk about, you know, give us a definition of what does ESOP mean? What does that mean? And also, how is that impacting employees, and how does that impact also the consumers?
Right. So ESOP, or ESOP, stands for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And it fundamentally means that every employee at Oliver's Market has a stake in the business, and they're able to share in the success of the company in many ways. There's personal and financial benefits of being an employee owner, in that each employee, each eligible employee receives an allocation of shares in their name at no financial cost to them. And we talk a lot about what it is to think and act like an employee owner. It's more than just coming in and doing your job, clocking in and clocking out, and just being a cog in the machine.
Well, you're invested.
Yeah, you certainly are, and there's a financial tie to it, truly a way to build wealth over the long run. And it changes, it's not just a grocery store, but it can be a really lucrative career for people. And we're working really hard to educate our staff about what that is.
Well, before we went on the air, you were telling me that we're not 100% employee-owned. You're kind of moving into a transition. So can you talk a little bit about that? And then also the social, what is the social purpose? I mean, it's really interesting, all these different definitions we need to know. What is a social purpose corporation, and how does that impact?
Sure. So your first question about our transition into employee ownership. So we're not 100% employee-owned at this time, and most, if not all, employee-owned companies do it in a transition from partial ownership to full ownership. So right now, the employees own 43% of the company, and the goal is to move that up to 100% as Steve Moss, you know, once he decides to retire, and we can keep his legacy moving forward.
So it's kind of a win-win. I mean, he's able to keep his name going, and here you have the employees now running the business.
Yeah, and that was a big part of his reason for transitioning to an ESOP and a social purpose corporation, which I'll talk about in a moment. But it was to keep Oliver's locally owned, independently owned in the community. There were numerous financial offerings on the company. I mean, I'm sure there still are. And I would venture to say that if Oliver's was purchased by a large corporation, we would lose a lot of what Oliver's is. Down-to-earth, real, just family-focused, employee-focused store. So it's really, it was able to keep it, keep Steve's intention true and have his legacy live on.
Well, you know, I think that's a good point to make, because it's hard in today's world to keep your business going, to make a profit, to be able to pay a decent wage. So having this kind of transition sounds like it makes a lot more sense. So the employees are not really making all the final decisions. You have like an executive committee that works with the owner, and you're moving towards making the transition little by little, step by step. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, our business is still run like a traditional business, where we have, you know, our a board of directors and our executive leadership team. Each store has a leadership kind of hierarchy as well. And as we transition to 100% employee ownership, then our board of directors will expand. I believe that we'll bring on more employees onto that role. And one thing that won't change is what we've done the entire time is listen to the employees and hear their feedback and their ideas. And like I told you before we went live, our best ideas have come from our employees, and we know that will never change. So our employees are very much part of our planning and inspiration.
Well, I know one thing that I found out being a retired executive manager myself, I found out the best resource was the people who were working.
Without
right
a doubt.
They knew how to cut costs, they knew how to cut time, all the things that you needed to know. They already, because they're working with it on a day-by-day basis. You know, so why you don't have to hire a consultant, you can just go and talk to your employees, which is amazing. Well, talk about the Social Purpose Corporation. What is that all about? And I mean, that's such a nice, I like that title, Social Purpose Corporation, like there's a social purpose, like they're going to do good in the community. That's how I take it.
That's exactly what it is. And honestly, that is, it's so, so exciting. So when Steve decided to sell some of the company to the employees, he also decided to transition Oliver's to a social purpose corporation. And a social purpose corporation considers social and environmental issues in decision making. And for us, it means in all of our business decisions, we are committed to consider our employees, suppliers, and customers, as well as the Sonoma County community, its people, businesses, agriculture, and the environment. And this, the changes were made to ensure that Oliver's remains independently owned for years to come. And and to also reward the employees who have been so pivotal in helping us get to where we are. And Steve also wanted to move to a social purpose corporation because he wanted to make it clear that if there were ever another financial offer placed on Oliver's, that there would have to be so much more taken into consideration than just the financial deal, but the implications to our employees, the community, and the environment would have to be taken into consideration as well. And you can read our social purpose plan on our website too. We post a new report every year about what we've done as a social purpose corporation.
So it sounds like you're really open to transparency too. I mean, you're putting it on the internet. I mean, on your website. What is that website? If you give it right now.
Sure, www.oliversmarket.com.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because Ken just was asking a question. Is that if you are a B corporation, like because we were very familiar, which we're going to talk about the second segment, talk a little bit about Go Local. I mean, Gaiaki in Sebastopol was an organization that was the first time we heard of a B Corp.
Yeah, it's very similar to a B Corp. I think there's some tax differences that are a little bit out of my my knowledge, but we're an S Corp, and it is very similar. Some people call it a B Corp light, if you will.
Well, it's just a very, very interesting concept. And, you know, and I also like the idea of legacy and of leaving your name with a real solid something that you've solidly contributed to the community, and also the idea of protecting that entity, because oftentimes you find when the business, you know, the businesses, I know the business that I worked in, it was owned by an individual and employees were very involved, but once it was sold, it took on a whole different feeling. And so what he's trying to do is protect his legacy, protect his vision, and also allow the employees to have something as sustainable as owning part of a company. My goodness, that's amazing. Well, just briefly, and we're going to take a musical break, talk about when you mentioned something about your executive group that kind of interacts. Each store has a group. How are those people trained, and what is that? What's the attitude towards that? I mean, how is that person chosen to be on the executive committee?
Well, I would say I don't know the percentage, but most of the people on our executive leadership team and store level leadership teams have been with the company for a very long time. In fact, our general manager started out in the produce department, and you know, we've had high level leadership members who've started out as dishwashers or baggers, and we're really proud to work with employees and show them the benefit for sticking around in the long run. We do a lot of hands-on training with our employees and try to identify employees who have a lot of potential and desire and motivation to move up in the company and to bring new ideas and inspiration to us. And that's how I got where I am too.
Yeah, it's wonderful just to hear it.
Yeah,
you know, just to hear that there's more to it than just profit. I mean,
absolutely.
you have to have a profit in order to pay wages. You have to have money flowing in and out in order to do that. But it's very refreshing to hear that the employees are such a high priority, and then that must be leads to the consumer, because you know, when an employee is happy, they're going to give you good service. When they're not happy, let me tell you something, it's not very good. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I got to tell you, Aubrey, I research songs like crazy, and I found this great song sung by Denise Gain called Corner Grocery Store, which I thought was really appropriate. It's a children's song, but it's just beautiful, and it just reminds me, even now as we're talking, it really reminds me of what we're talking about. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Corner Grocery Store, and when we return, I will continue my conversation with Aubrey Ballinger, the Corporate Graphics Manager and ESOP Communications Committee Chair for Oliver's Market here in Sonoma County. Perfect. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and we're having a delightful, delightful conversation with Aubrey Ballinger, who is the Corporate Graphics Manager and ESOP Communications Committee Chair for Oliver's Market here in Sonoma County. Well, Aubrey, welcome back. We're back here on the air again. You know, Oliver's is locally owned, and when I first learned about Oliver's, believe it or not, and really got into it, was through Go Local. Ken and I are actually two of the founders, which is amazing to me that it's gone. Shout out, by the way, to Sarah Cummings. Mm-hmm. She's listening. Sarah, thank you so much for organizing this. What a wonderful woman to work with.
She's the best.
So anyway, Oliver's is locally owned, and there's an organization called Go Local, which encourages shopping local. So give us a little overview. I mean, there's a lot of talk about local. Why is it important, and what is your spin on it?
Well, I got to say, we are passionate about all things local, and we are proud members of Go Local as well. Oliver's Market is, and we've been members of the organization since 2009, so we are one of the founding organizations
as
well.
That's how I first met Steve, actually.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So obviously, one of the most obvious benefits of shopping locally is being able to support other locally owned Sonoma County businesses. And these business owners and employees are neighbors and our family and our community members. And it feels so right to be able to support those people. And we always had a hunch shopping locally had big impacts on the community, but we really needed or wanted some more concrete evidence. So we commissioned a few studies by Dr. Robert Eiler at Sonoma State University over the last 15 years. And the studies that he did was about the impacts of local shopping on the community and buying local products. And what Dr. Eiler's study found kind of confirmed our hunches that more tax dollars stay here in Sonoma County when you buy local products from a locally owned business. And these tax dollars go towards supporting our law enforcement, maintaining roads, keeping our parks, you know, beautiful and pristine. And in 2019, almost 30% of the cost of goods sold at our stores was paid to local producers, which I think is a pretty amazing percentage. And Dr. Robert Eiler also found that buying groceries at a local business that focused on locally made products like Oliver's resulted in 40% more tax revenue, staying in our community.
Wow.
So it makes real impacts. And you can actually, when you shop at Oliver's, check the bottom of your receipt. At the bottom of your receipt, it tells you how much money during your shopping trip went toward purchasing local Sonoma County products. And by local, I got to say, when we say local, we mean Sonoma County. We don't mean Marin. We don't mean Mendocino. We don't mean 200-mile radius around our stores. Local for us is Sonoma County, trying to keep those impacts here with the people that we live and work with side by side. You can also, as you shop our stores, look for the green shelf tags. If a product has a green shelf tag, that denotes that it's local. So you might find something new or discover that your favorite products you didn't even realize were local are. And for our employees, the benefit to us supporting local is not just that people appreciate it or customers appreciate it, but we have more control of our day-to-day operations by being local and supporting local businesses. And employees can be confident that while working at Oliver's, we are helping this community that they live in. So we're helping support the businesses our employees shop at. We're helping support the schools that they attend or their children attend, and we're helping support the organizations that they're involved with, and we're really passionate about that.
So there's a real buy-in. I mean, it's almost, I mean, I'm listening to all this and I'm thinking to myself, of course, you know, what an amazing feeling it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know I had that feeling also, the localness of it, the localness of it.
I got to say, one of the best things is seeing a new local product, a new local company come in, brand new, and then watch their business evolve and explode and become a nationally recognized product or business. It's just a little bit of a sense of pride to see that. And we're always rooting for all of our local business partners.
Well, that's interesting when you use the word rooting. You know, we're rooting, we're hoping, we want to see success, because we're all succeeding together. We're not only succeeding as individual, but we're also succeeding for the community, which is just amazing. What was that, Ken?
Examples.
Do you have any examples? You want to give an example?
Oh, maybe? I'll give one example that comes to mind. It would be Bachan's Japanese barbecue sauce. And if you haven't tried it, it is phenomenal. But I remember them bringing in the first bottle of Japanese barbecue sauce so we could take a picture of it for the ad. And now I think they're in every Whole Foods market in the country. They're East Coast to West Coast. They have four varieties now. We're just so excited to see what he's up to. They just released a new yuzu flavored Japanese barbecue sauce. It's really simple ingredients, really clean and family owned. It's a beautiful company to help support.
Amazing. So they came into Oliver's and they said, you know, I'd like to showcase this, and you decided to take them on, and then all of a sudden they get their first showing.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're going gangbusters, like
yeah.
You said. That's just amazing. Well, you know, I'm thinking when you said another thing that you said, very interesting, you said you buy local and you have this green marker that says go local. I want to know, do you believe, because I notice, for example, when you go into Safeway, when you go into Raley's, you go into a lot of these things, all of a sudden you see this go local going on. Do you think that that was an influence starting from go local, Oliver's, different markets that were doing it? Do you think they actually influenced those organizations?
Well, I don't have any concrete evidence to support that, but I would say that we find it really interesting, but we're really proud of how we define local. That a lot of the grocery stores that you see that promote local, it's wonderful what they're doing and supporting as local as they can, but the radius could be within the whole state, and we have obviously a very large state, or entire regions, multiple states, and it feels right for us to define local in such a narrow field and really support this beautiful county that we all live and work in.
Well, you know, I really, really, Aubrey, appreciate your articulation and how much information that you've given us. I mean, it's really inspiring to me, and I hope it's inspiring other companies to start looking at ideas around not only employee-owned, but more support for their employees. You know, oftentimes, I know Ken and I, we have conversations, and I say, Ken, what's the problem? And he says, well, employees are considered an expense rather than a value, you know, and it's kind of interesting. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, so any final words, websites, anything they can get a hold of you, anything you'd like to say, Aubrey, it's your stage.
Thank you. I would encourage everyone to sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can find in our newsletter, we send it out Wednesday mornings, the day that our weekly ad breaks. So you can find links to our ads, recipes, and blogs, and special email exclusive deals on some of our favorite products. And you can sign up on our website at www.oliversmarket.com. And I'm just so pleased and honored that I got to join you today and speak with you. And thanks to KBVF and the time that you took to speak with me.
Oh, no, it was wonderful to educate our public, educate our audience about local and also employee-owned, to give and what the whole transition is. So thank you so much, Aubrey, and I want to wish you much, much success.
Thank you very much.
Well, folks, Boy, that was a great interview. You know, one of the things that is so wonderful when you're sitting across the room from a woman that can really explain things is just really a pleasure. So thank you so much, Aubrey. And again, thank you to Sarah Cummings of your organizations for bringing this all together. As a reminder, all the information that you heard on the show will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. That's womenspaces.com. Also, if you want to wish anyone a happy birthday, anniversary, birth, anything, write me at Elaine. I have a new email, okay? The new email is ELAINE, middle initial BHOLTZ at gmail.com. So that's ElaineBholtz at gmail.com. I'm having a little bit of a problem with Women's Spaces, so that's ElaineBholtz at gmail.com. Remember to tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 o'clock this evening. That's Monday evening. I'm excited. I get to listen to it myself. And you know, I am available for speaking engagements. And if you have, like I said, if you have any announcements, please let me know. Always remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life is you. Because a woman in your life, and a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 17th, 2022.